This is Susan Hidalgo-Smith for Conversations in Medicine. While politicians continue to wrangle over the rollout of the Federal Affordable Care Act, families and individuals are grappling with what it means for them. As a local health insurance broker, Phil Muscarello, who happens to be WRKF's agent, is often the one to get questions about how costs and coverages are changing. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for inviting me.
How do you explain the Affordable Care Act to families? And additionally, do you have a simple one-sheet page to refer to that you can give them?
As far as the one sheet to refer to, if I were to take the ACA law and to put it into a bullet form, there would be over 500 bullets. What I have developed are certain presentations for certain classes of individuals. The individual that's not eligible for group insurance, for example, the small employer, and the large employer. So those tools are available in a brief form, but there is no way that anybody, I believe, can put this law into a one-sheet page that's easy to understand. One other point I did want to make, and we may cover it a little bit later, the notice that we are waiting on from HHS was due to come out March 1st. That was the notice of exchange that was to be distributed to all employers. That has been delayed. That letter would be the letter that I believe you're asking about, because it will be the federal government telling us how all this is going to work.
So the health reform implementation, some of it's already taken place, correct?
Yes.
Give us an update on that.
Okay. The Affordable Care Act was passed, signed into law on March 23rd, 2010, and some of the provisions in the law actually took effect immediately. There was one provision that actually had a retroactive effect, and that was the Small Business Health Care Tax Credit. That tax credit could be retroed to January 1st to cover the calendar year. There are a number of changes up front. The grandfather plan status, meaning if a group insurance plan or individual plan made any changes to their policy after March 23rd, 2010, they would leave that grandfathered status and become non-grandfathered.
So we're talking about 2010 here on the grandfathered. Has a lot more taken place between 2010 and 2013?
Well, not necessarily with the grandfathered plans, per se.
The dependent coverage,
yes,
to age 26. What's the pre-X for children?
Okay. Later in 2010, I believe it was in September, the companies imposed a no pre-existing waiting period for children under the 19. They also required insurance companies to guarantee issue coverage to children under 19, and the result of that was just about every carrier exited the market. There was only one carrier that would write children under the age of 19 and were given the provision to have the ability to rate that policy up to 400%.
So all plans, yours included, has the dependent coverage up to age 26?
All plans have dependent coverage up to age 26. There's no pre-existing conditions for children. Annual and lifetime limits have been removed. Now, these changes occurred for all policies, both grandfathered and non-grandfathered. There are some additional patient protections that are included in the non-grandfathered block of business. Now, that would be policies purchased after March 23rd, 2010, or policies that maybe have changed the deductible, changed the coinsurance. That would take them out of the grandfathered status.
So you're talking about things like preventative care, non-discrimination rules. Would these fall into the non-grandfathered plans?
Absolutely. The grandfathered plans have some protections in there for wellness and preventative, and that would be 100% coverage with no deductible. The non-grandfathered plans have an additional set of preventative and wellness coverages paid at 100%. So it really depends if your plan is grandfathered or non-grandfathered. That has been a very, very, very big issue with individuals that are unclear about you know, exactly what their wellness preventative is.
Thanks so much, Phil, for coming and explaining some of this to us. This is Susan Hidalgo-Smith and B. Cole, editor for Conversations in Medicine.